Welcome back. You are listening to Therapy Insiders, part of the UpDoc Media family. I get a lot of questions on business, and one of the most common ones is about what can physical therapists do, if anything, aside from being in a clinic and treating patients. And while the question might seem a little strange on the surface, I think it's fantastic to think in that way, because there are so many avenues and applications for physical therapists aside from just being in that clinic. And yes, it's a very small percentage of clinicians that will spend up to $100,000 on student loans and spend most of their adult life in school and then want to do other things. Even fewer actually stop treating patients and do other things, myself included. Another one of these people is Greg Todd, and he's our guest on this episode. And Greg talks about his journey from starting up a clinic and growing to $1 million clinic, and then growing to other avenues, to being a consultant, to creating courses, to doing other really cool things. And we talk about why physical therapists are uniquely positioned to do that. I think you're really going to like this episode, especially if you're entrepreneurially driven. Enjoy. You know, we at Therapy Insiders and UpDoc Media are huge fans of business and business conferences. That's why I'm incredibly excited to announce that Therapy Insiders is sponsored by Ascend Conference, the ultimate rehab therapy business summit, happening September 9th and 10th in Fort Worth, Texas. You know what else? Ben and I are speaking and presenting on digital media and marketing at the conference. You're going to have some of the biggest names in physical therapy, some of the brightest business minds in rehab at this conference. It's going to be incredible. You're going to love the networking opportunities and the information. In the middle of this podcast, I actually grabbed Dr. Heidi Janenga, the president of WebPT, to ask her where Ascend Conference came from and really what is the value of it. And you're definitely going to want to hear that. In the meantime, check out ascendevent.com to get your early bird special pricing. That's before June 1st. Get your early bird pricing at ascendevent.com. Come hang out with us and learn from some of the best in the field. And now, on to Therapy Insiders. Hello, welcome back to Therapy Insiders Podcast. Dr. Gene Schirakerbrot here with the trifecta again. Dr. Joe Palmer, Dr. Erson Religioso. I think I told you guys this before. Like, these are my favorite episodes. I feel like they happen less frequently now that everybody's so busy and has so many things together. But when they do happen, it's like a reset when we get the whole group together.
Yeah, it's not quite a leap year, but it's definitely special.
Group hug. I like it.
Hug emoji.
I like it. Oh, man, a lot going on. I feel like I keep saying that over and over again, and every time that happens, something else happens. So let's catch the listeners up a little bit. Super hot off the press, we launched our new podcast. Erson, do you want to kind of give the spiel on it, of Untold Physio Stories?
Yeah. My co-host, Jason Shane of Shane Physiotherapy, one of the most popular physiotherapy pages on Facebook in Canada.
Oh, there's only three physiotherapists. That's why. Jason Balfour, shout out.
Hey, well, you know, number one is number one, right?
Fair enough.
We noticed that, at least I noticed, when I was downloading podcasts, and, you know, as much as I like to listen to long-form podcasts, if I was in the car and had a 10-15-minute commute, it was hard to kind of regain exactly where I was because I wasn't, or even if I was streaming it, you know, I couldn't quite pick it up, especially if it was just from a browser tab. So I don't know if that was too geeky for most people, but either way, I just thought, you know, no one's really doing a 10-15-minute podcast, I guess, other than Mike Reinhold. But The other thing is that we noticed that, you know, most people, myself included, we blog or we talk about our successes, and everyone just talks about how many home runs they're hitting. So we thought that, you know, not too many people ever talk about failures or mistakes and what they learn from them. So that's pretty much, even though in the intro we say it's Untold Physio Stories or stories about clinical successes and failures, so far most of them have been entertaining failures and what we've learned from them. So we launched today. Episode one was a preview about a month ago, and episode two just launched today, where I talked about red flags. And just I already got over 1,000 hits on my blog just from that, and I haven't even checked my UpDoc media stats. So thank you for checking it out.
Awesome. And that's like the best part of a story, right? The narrative, the redemption arc. Any good story has those classical parts: the intro, the conflict, the kind of the arc upward, and then the resolution. And I think that's what the Untold Physio Stories has. It's not just, like you said, sunshine and the end result. That you have kind of that redemption and lesson element to it.
Right. There can't be sweet without the sour,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Unless you're Joe. I remember we talked about something like that before, and Joe, I can't remember, what were the words you used? Like, why would I talk about any of my mistakes?
You probably have to review the tape on that.
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, that might have been a mistake. I might not have said that. I might not have wanted to say that.
Fair enough. But to be fair, also at that point, I don't think we had the listenership, and I think if we just started talking about all our mistakes, that might have hurt the credibility a little bit.
Right. Now we can talk about anything, and they'll still listen. Right.
Well, at least enough of them. I'm sure some drop off.
Well, Gene's pushing them to the limit. Can we get to this podcast or what?
I am pushing. I am pushing. All right. So a lot of cool stuff going on in the world as well. And I don't know about you, Joe, but I'm pretty sure I know the answer. I know Urson's a huge superhero fan. And we all kind of have that little geek side to it. And Batman versus Superman came out and then apparently completely shit the bed. Yeah, Deadpool was awesome. I think everybody really enjoyed good. Deadpool. And now Captain America: Civil War's out, which I haven't seen yet. I have a six week old baby, so my theater going is limited.
I'm seeing it Friday.
Nothing, but all right, rub it in, jackass. But that's out. So you know, I'm really excited about these superhero movies, and then this guy keeps freaking popping up on my Facebook page, and
yeah, unrelenting Facebook ads.
Unrelenting. Thankfully, the message is good, so I keep watching them. But even before I hear him, because you know Facebook has autoplay, but you see things, and I keep looking at his freaking posters at his office, right. And I can't take my eyes off of them. They are incredible posters. And our guest, Urson, please introduce him.
Well. Tonight, we have Greg Todd from GregToddPT.com. He's a speaker. He's been targeting fitness for a while, and he just recently started targeting PTs, and he's doing a great job because both Gene and I are being inundated by his ads, and that's a good thing because he has a good message. And, you know, I noticed his posters, which some 007 stuff in the background, but the other thing I noticed is that one video is wearing Green Lantern and the other one is wearing Punisher. So is it Marvel or DC, Greg? Which one?
I got love for all of them, man.
Oh, man. It can't all be both equal.
No, you're not. No, exactly. You're not getting off
like
that.
It's like an Apple and an Android. It can't be both.
Yeah. We're not going kumbaya out from the start.
If I was partial to one, it's going to be Marvel. But
oh, yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I got love for all of them. You know,
back I like them
day,
both, too. It's that Marvel
I mean,
better.
It was all Marvel. But now I'm older. I'm wiser. I love them all.
Okay.
There's elements of both. Like Marvel is killing it in the movies, right? Like the Marvel Cinematic Universe is just absolutely destroying DC, which hurts me because I'm a huge, huge Superman fan. So, I mean, it doesn't really get any bigger than Superman and Batman. It doesn't.
No, it could. Well, Captain America versus Iron Man is pretty big too, but you know. Not as big. I would agree. It's not as big.
It's quite disappointing that there was so much, or at least for me, there was so much buildup with Batman, Superman, and it kind of wet the bed. But, you know.
It did. It did. And not even a big wet. It was just like this, I kind of wet the bed. You know, it wasn't even going out in a cool way. It was just depressing. It was a depressing wet the bed. But Civil War is out now, and obviously it's pitting superhero versus superhero. You know, friends, family, communities versus each other. And I feel like some of that is going on in the physical therapy world right now, Greg. There's these, like, just
camps,
factions of really smart people that have a similar message, that want to accomplish the same thing. And some of them are right in some respects, but there's just these constant battles from within. Do you find that as well?
Yes, I think it's I think everybody means well, but I think it's just old school versus new school. And somehow I fall somewhere in between. It's weird. I feel like I'm more on the new school side, but I've been a PT for 16 years, man. So, you know, I had to go new school because old school wasn't working for me. So, you know, yeah, I get what you're saying, though.
So what would you classify as old school and what is new school? And should we even have two at this point? Should there just be a best practice school?
Well, I'll say this. Old school is your typical PT that comes out, relies on physician referral, defers to other healthcare providers to bring them patients. And it worked. And it worked very, very, very well for many years. And it's still working. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's still some thriving businesses out there that go off of that model. And then you have the new school, we'll call them Marvel, that are doing marketing and business the way like other business owners do it. Direct marketing, using social media, I guess now more the cash-based plan, just doing more than just formal physical therapy via insurance. And in order to be successful with that, you're going to have to do things a lot different than the old school folks. And sometimes the old school folks feel like, oh, you're a massive self-promoter, or you know, or this or that. And, you know, the new school people feel like, oh, you're in the dark ages. So yeah, I mean, there's a little beef between the two, I guess. But at the end of the day, I do think everybody's just trying to, you know, do what they feel is best for the profession.
Yeah, I think it's a recurring theme here on Therapy Insiders that we talk about the lack of business awareness for general physical therapists. And it is, you know, you brought up a great point that we just don't market like any other business, but people forget that we're a business.
Right. I mean, you know, here's the thing. I think a lot of people that, like, they think of me as, oh, you do that because you're a business owner. But, like, that's not how it should be. Like, I market PT because I believe in PT, you know? And so I just think it's not just about business and, oh, you got to market because you guys have a business. You have Up.media, or I've got Renewal Rehab, or, you know, I'm doing my Greg Todd PT consulting stuff. Like, I've been marketing like this and been promoting the profession since like day one, even when I was working for other places. And I just realized after a while, they weren't jiving with how I was doing things. Like, they liked that their companies were busy and that I was bringing in patients for them and all that other stuff, but they weren't supporting me. And I just said, screw this, man. I got to go do my own thing because, you know, it just wasn't going to work long term.
I think that part of the problem is that in the past, the first person to tell somebody that they needed PT or that they needed to go get help was a physician. And I think that with some of the new ways of marketing direct to consumer, we're able to spread that message and really create a need create an awareness of what PT can do for patients. So before they even know that they want PT, we can create that draw.
Right, right.
And like Greg said, to your point about direct to consumer, it's, and we talk about this all the time. I mean, it's part of our kind of core business at UpDoc Media when we do digital marketing and content creation for companies. It's the first question that I love to ask is, you know, who is your audience in your community? And it's such a standard question, but it's a very telling question in the response that you get, because if people start listing off, oh, you know, we want this person with this back injury, like if people don't understand how to create an avatar or how to create a buyer persona, you really don't know where your audience is, and then you can't craft your message. And if we're pushing direct access, like to me direct access is the clearest way to have our message without any dilution. When there's referrals, when the physician says, go see X, Y, and Z, that's the physician's message, because the physician says, oh, you have this, have your physical therapist look at this and that. When you have direct access, when you're marketing, like you said, Greg, like any other business that's doing marketing through inbound marketing, providing a ton of value through social media, through just creating content and providing it to them to educate them, to say, hey, look, we're out here to the audience. It's your message. There is no breaking that message up. You say what you want to say. If you say it wrong, you won't have a business. If you say it right, you'll attract that business, right?
Right, exactly. And you can, this is one of the big things. Since I've done direct marketing, I am now basically attracting the type of client that I want. And I have such quality clients now. I was at a conference that I spoke at maybe, I don't know, a month ago. And, you know, they were talking about what type of client do you want in your practice? And I'm like, wow, in my practice, like 80% of my people are my human billboards. It's because I've been specifically attracting the type of client that I want. You don't get that when you market to physicians. You're getting whatever they want to send you. And so, you know, I don't know, that just to me, it's not a good business model. It just doesn't make sense. And I don't understand if we've been pushing this vision, whatever, 2020 or whatever, with regards to direct access. Like, how is direct marketing not a part of the equation if we wanted direct access in the first place? It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And my favorite part, aside from the creative aspect of the marketing and creating the ads and targeting and just doing the research on it, to me, the best thing about digital marketing or marketing directly to consumers is the ability to track everything. Like, we are so evidence-based in clinic, and I think we've talked about this before as well. I'm pretty sure we talked about everything at this point. We don't look at the biggest level or the biggest collection of evidence there is, and that is business data, business metrics. I mean, Ben Fung and I, our partner at UpDoc Media, we were asked to speak at Ascend Conference, WebPT's conference, coming up in September, and that's going to be our presentation, evidence-based business. And there's so much we can collect and track and use and utilize and improve on through marketing to create our message. And it's just not being used. And to me, that is incredibly frustrating for a profession that wants the best outcomes, and it's right there for us.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's nothing more I can say about that besides that you're exactly right. And it's right there. You know, whether you're using Facebook ads, you're using Google Analytics, I mean, it's all there for us to measure, track what we're doing, find out what people want. Like, what exactly are they looking for? What resonates with people? It's there, but we've just totally turned a blind eye to it. So
yeah, for sure. So Joe, as a clinic owner, how has your evolution been? Like, you're using StriveHub now, you're keeping track of emails and marketing. What's it been like for you at the clinic?
Yeah, we're starting to do a lot more of it. I think the evolution is a good thing to do when you're not struggling, right? Our clinic is not struggling for referrals at this point, but I do see a need to develop a direct to consumer pathway to our clinic. I feel that now is the time to start working on those things, so that you're gonna make mistakes, and I mean we're not very efficient right now. We're not good at our social media marketing. We're compiling lists and we're using some StriveHub software to send out emails that occur at certain time points during care. We're getting a lot of feedback that we weren't getting from patients before starting to use the software. Just because some of the stuff falls by the wayside if nobody's has time to stay on top of it. And I think that being able to automate some of those tasks is a huge, huge thing, because then you can follow the reports and really stay on top of all of your efforts. So
And that's exactly it. But like, even if you make mistakes, they're data points, essentially. Like, you saw where the mistake happened, and you can kind of figure out why it might have happened. If you spend that same money on a physician's lunch and you don't get any patients, you don't get any data from that. You don't go, oh, well, did we buy the wrong sandwich that they don't like? Or did we say something wrong? Or, you know, there's no way to figure it out. This way, if something doesn't go right, you kind of have a pretty good idea of it.
Yeah, I mean, you can learn more from your mistakes. Now that you got me to admit that I've made mistakes on the record.
On record.
Yeah, I mean, especially with this, it is nice to be able to see the data and work on it. But I think that listening to podcasts and getting help from people that are more proficient, it's easier to learn when somebody in your business can explain what things have worked for them. So I think that's pretty big too, to get some mentorship as you do that.
And it comes down to two things, Greg. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. It comes down to value and ROI, which go hand in hand. So if you spend 2-3 hours yourself trying to figure some of this stuff out versus hiring somebody to do it, and this is a plug for both of us, for UpDoc Media and for your business, Greg. If you hire somebody like us to do it for you, yeah, it's gonna cost you some money, but the ROI is going to be 3, 4, 5, 6 times fold that, and we can prove it because it's all data driven.
Right. I mean, I have a guy who actually, you guys know, he's a blog contributor to your company, who's in my course, and told me that he did an interview. He did his first interview, and just from the things that he learned in the first part of the course, he was basically able to name his price during the interview. Like the employer had to take the offer that he gave him off the table because of what he learned. Now, he could have found that stuff out. Like, I've got tons of free crap out there. You guys have tons of stuff that you guys have given. That's how I found out about you guys. Ben had all these different things. I was like, this guy really writes well. He really is doing his research. Good for him. This is like a year and a half ago. And we have plenty of free stuff out there. But the truth of the matter is that if you want it figured out, all packaged in one, and because we understand our field and our niche, and, you know, for me, I understand how to market in physical therapy, then you pay for it. You know, I mean, that's it. Now, if it doesn't make sense for you to pay for it, then you figure it out yourself. I mean, you know, you could do it either way. You know, for me, like, I've just, you know, time is of essence. That's the big thing right now. That's what we're all trying to make best use of. So, look, man, I just, put out all the things that I need people to do that I'm not an expert in, and I just pay for it. And I'm like, okay, you do that, take care of that for me. And then the things that I'm good at, I just do a lot of that. And that's
okay. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've wrote a whole freaking blog post on that, that play up to your strengths and partner with your weaknesses, or find somebody else that does it, because your weakness is most likely somebody else's strength, and it's just not enough time in the day to focus on stuff like that. Right, Arsene? Just get an iPhone.
Yeah. Hey, if you had an Android, you could have created a hotspot. You would have been on this podcast earlier. So,
if I had an Android, it would have been flying through the air in my backyard.
But you also would have been on the podcast earlier. So, you know what Greg and Gene have been saying is really important, and you know, it's something where I thought I could do everything myself as well, and I've definitely have learned a lot along the way in terms of marketing. But it is not easy. And just when you think you have Facebook ads mastered or Facebook page mastered, and you think getting so many followers means you've made it, Facebook will change their algorithms and, you know, your reach can plummet. And Greg and I were talking about this and, you know, what the steps I've taken to increase my reach again. And, you know, sure, I had to read a lot of blogs and do a lot of research, and I make the time to do that because it's important to me, and my products and my seminars and my practice. But it is a heck of a lot easier to get someone to do it for you in many cases, and to automate your life and your business.
Now you sound like Mike Reinold. Next thing you're going to tell me is like you like ultrasounding now, and you're his carbon copy.
Hey, aren't we all trying to make it easier? Are we all trying to be more efficient? I am not going to add ultrasound back to my practice.
Mike's got two shout outs in this podcast. One about his podcast, which is a really good podcast, by the way.
It is an awesome podcast.
You should check that out.
I'm the be Mike on Reinold. In July.
Ask Mike Reinold show. Yeah, it's a really good podcast. Greg, let's step back a little bit. Let's kind of go through your journey. You said you've been a PT for 16 years. Where'd you start out? Tell us how you got to business and some lessons that you've learned in business up to this point.
Yeah, so my first gig, I worked for an outpatient corporation. I've always loved outpatient. That's always been my gig. So I worked for an outpatient corporation for the first year and a half. Got a promotion to work for another company and move up to the Tampa Bay area, which I did about a year and a half after I started, becoming a physical therapist. And during my first year, I got this opportunity to work with, not professional tennis players, with young kids that were tennis players. And I got the opportunity because nobody else wanted to do it, because I had to do it for free. So nobody wanted to do it. I took it on. I worked with these kids for about a year and a half before I came up to Tampa, and that opened up the door for me to work at a place called Saddlebrook Tennis Resorts and get another job for a company called Cora. So my first ever tennis player that I worked with was actually the number one tennis player in the world at the time. And I remember like going into her room, and the first time I worked with her, I'm like 4 years in, you know, as a physical therapist, and I'm scared as hell. I'm sweating when I'm working with this girl, and the cameras come in, and it was Eurosport doing a documentary on her. I mean, you talk about like crapping bricks. So anyways, I ended up working with her and
kind of like Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much like that. So I ended up working with this girl, and, that really was the start of building my confidence. And I remember like there was this one time that I worked with her, and I'm working on her and doing some mobilization or something like that. And she said, you know, Greg, I like you. I like you a lot. I said, really? I was like, oh, awesome. You know, she's like, because you answer questions. You answer my questions. And I was like, huh? And she's like, you answer questions. And if you don't know answer to question, you find it out.
Is that supposed to be a Russian accent?
Belgian. Okay. So anyway, I'm sorry. I know it's sorry.
I'll buy it. I've never heard. I can't remember the last time I heard a Belgian accent. Okay. I'll buy it. I'll go with it. Listeners, please fact check that. Let us know.
Please, I know that sucked. But the interesting thing about that, but there's a good story behind this, because.
And before Greg shares that story, In the beginning of this podcast, I mentioned that we are sponsored by Ascend Conference, the Ultimate Rehab Therapy Business Summit. We at UpDoc Media are obviously excited to go and present, and I wanted to kind of get a little bit more background, a little story of Ascend. So I asked Dr. Heidi Janenga, president of WebPT, to give us a bit of a rundown on Ascend. Here's Heidi.
Yeah, thanks, Gene. So our vision for Ascend has really been to try to bring the brightest minds in private practice together in an innovative, creative environment in which you have the opportunity to talk about and learn more about the ever-evolving world of business in private practice. We're talking physical therapists, occupational therapists together, exchanging and ideas and challenging each other to really understand how to take your private practice business to that next level. And that's really what Ascend is all about. It's an educational event that you can learn practical business tactics, as well as capitalizing on the changing healthcare landscape. Plus, you earn CEUs, which you have to do, to get the ROI from going to a conference. So you have the opportunity as a PT or OT to actually get up to 9 CEUs for attending the Ascend event. But not only that, you get to network with thought leaders like Gene.
Thanks for the kind words, Heidi, and I completely agree. This is an incredible event to be with your peers, to be with some think leaders that are doing some really cool things that you will learn from, and you get ROI. You leave this conference being excited to attend next year. That's the best thing I can say. Networking, information, CEUs, everything in one place. Check out ascendevent.com, www.ascendevent.com. Get your early bird pricing before June 1st. You will love this conference. I promise you. One of my favorites. Check it out, ascendevent.com. And now, let's get back to Therapy Insiders and Greg Todd finishing his story.
Here I am working with the top tennis player in the world. And at this point, we're probably like a year, year and a half into our working relationship. And I realized that the thing that she got from me the most was my ability to answer questions. And we don't push that in PT. Like, we don't push our ability to consult, our ability to give people answers to their rehab. Like, this is what's going on. We know anatomy and biomechanics amazingly well. And we just always push with our technical skills. And I think that is a mistake. I'm not saying our technical skills aren't important, but I think our ability to understand biomechanics, anatomy, and piecing that together with the art of rehabilitation is so powerful. And I just don't think a lot of people know it. So anyways, I worked with her, and that kind of gave me the confidence to go out on my own. And I did that in 2005. And so basically it's 2016. I started with 2 people, and now I have 20 employees, 2 clinics, and, kind of rolling along. And, you know, throughout the time, it's not like I started doing direct marketing when I was 27 years old and opened up my own place. I mean, I went to physicians. I was the one that got Panera Bread and got the lunches and all that stuff. But I realized that it was getting me nowhere fast, you know, and it was just frustrating because I just felt like I was this pharmaceutical rep, you know, going into the offices and having this girl up at the front desk, you know, basically blow me off and tell me, leave us alone. He's busy or she's busy.
So that's the evolution, right? I mean, things changed so quickly. At that point, social media, digital connections were not where they are now. Yeah. I mean, that's even 5 years ago. And everybody did that. I don't know anybody that hasn't gone to some kind of lunch with somebody for marketing. I mean, that was the gold standard, essentially. That and word of mouth. You know, I'll treat my patient the best I can. I'll be humble with them, and they'll sing my praises. But like no shit, aren't you doing that anyway? That's not special. That's just every day.
You want to know what the funny thing is? The reason why, like how I got into all this, was just a total accident. So I'm working with this patient. She goes back to her referring physician. Referring physician gives me a call and says, "Hey, Greg, I want to let you know something that Mrs. such and such said." I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "Well, she actually got better with you, and she was really happy about her progress with therapy. But she said that you talk about running too much, because at that time I was getting myself in shape. I ran my first 5K and was getting ready to do my first half marathon. And I'm like, okay, all right, Dr. Della Torre, I won't talk about running anymore. And I was just like, oh, whatever, just damn patience. So I decided at that point, that's when blogging, this is like 2007, and that's when people were just like starting to blog. And I was like, you know what? I know I'm excited about me getting in shape and running and doing my first, you know, half marathon and whatnot. I was like, let me start one of those blogs. And in 2009-10, when we redid my company website, my web guy told me that my blog was getting more hits than our website, our physical therapy website. And that's when I started to like put two and two together and realize, wait a minute, there's some power in this. And that's when I started to piece it all together.
I want to follow up on that confidence thing. I remember you posted fairly recently, I think it was when you were giving a presentation at one of the conferences, There was a picture of you, and you said that it took you a while to get to this point because you weren't always confident. I mean, you're putting yourself out there a ton now, but that wasn't always the case. What was that like? Like, why did you need this constant progression, and what happened to give you more confidence? Because I hear that all the time from DPT students, from just professionals that want to put themselves out there, but they just keep saying, well, I'm either self-conscious or I'm not good at this. I can't do this like you. And to me, like, I don't get that, because if you're putting yourself in front of a patient one-on-one, you should be able to do it on a scale level as well.
I mean, yeah, you're doing it whether you know it or not. You know, you're just doing it to one patient. But in my case, it was a little bit different. I've struggled with stuttering all of my life. And so I nearly did not become a physical therapist. When I was in my last year of high school, going into college and trying to decide what did I want to do, my reasoning for not doing physical therapy was that I was going to have such a hard time with talking to people because I stuttered so much. So when I decided, okay, I want to do PT because I love muscles, I love bones, I love sports, and I'm shy. I'm really shy because I just suck at talking, you know, I stutter so much, but like deep inside, I knew that I liked to be around people. I really have just always overcompensated with knowing stuff so well that my stuttering doesn't really show up much. And so I knew when I got out of school, I knew that I had to become amazing at like understanding the information. You know, understanding what the hell am I talking about when I'm talking to a patient? You know, can I explain this very well? Can I do this well? Because if not, you'll start to hear the stuttering come out. And so that is really what has built up my confidence, because I've had to become so good. Because if I'm not, like, it sounds really bad, guys. Like, really, really bad. So it really is amazing now that I can. Like right before I came on this interview, I went live on Facebook. Like, I don't care. I can go live because the stuff that I'm talking about, I only talk about stuff I really know. And the fact that I can do live streaming daily on Periscope and go on Facebook Live and whatnot, it really is just part of this amazing story about my trials and my tests kind of turning into my, I guess, my triumphs or my testimony.
So what are you still working on? What's the progression now that you kind of get to a level of confidence? What do you work on? Like, what do you work to improve for your business as a physical therapist, for your business as a consultant, and how do you exude that to your clients?
I still struggle with so many different things. I'm always working on myself. I'm always working to become better at, you know, becoming a better clinician, even though I'm only in the clinic 2 days a week, you know, 1 to 2 days a week. I want to become a better leader. I want to become more knowledgeable in, you know, conditions that I don't treat as much or haven't treated as much over my 15, 16 years of doing this. So every day it's a constant progression. Like, everything is. I'm constantly pushing myself to get better. I spend anywhere between 30 to 45 minutes a day in personal development. I've done that for 5 years, like daily. You know, before I did it here and there, read a book, but I'm doing that every single day because now I've got a lot of people. I'm mentoring a lot of people. I'm consulting for a lot of companies. I have to be at my best. Nobody wants, with the amount that I'm charging for private consulting, nobody wants 50% of me. They want everything, and I got to be on all the time, you know? And then on top of that, I got 4 kids. I got a wife, you know, like I got to bring it, man. So I'm always trying to get better. So,
yeah, for sure. I mean, Joe, I'm guessing it's probably the same thing, whether it's private consulting or running a business and having a patient in front of you. Like, how do you juggle getting better personally while still focusing on the business, a clinician slash business owner?
Yeah, it's going to be different for everybody, Gene. But I mean, what I found is effective for me is finding specific time, like Greg is saying, that you can devote to yourself to try to improve on and hit your goals. And each section of your life is going to have goals. You're going to have goals for your business. You're going to have goals personally, goals for your relationships. You're going to need to pay attention to and track your progress towards all of them. So it's a juggling act. I mean, you got we all have a lot of balls in the air. And so, you know, some days it's just good to make it through the day and not drop any. I honestly believe that. But, you know, that's part of the fun, too. If you don't have a lot of balls up in the air, then, you know, I'd get bored with myself, man.
Yeah, I think what Tim Ferriss says.
Right.
I like what Tim Ferriss says. He had an author on recently on maybe 2-3 podcasts ago, basically. And this guy was starting a new podcast based on 5 things that he wanted to improve in his life. And he asked him, you know, what do you think about, you know, one of my goals is to be a better husband. And Tim said, you know, everything that you're trying to change should be objectively measurable. And, you know, how are you measuring that? You know, is it just like how many compliments you get a week or whatever? I mean, it's not a very good goal if you can't measure it. So, you know, that really got me thinking. It's like I always want to be a better husband as well, but, you know, how could I objectively measure that? And I think that, you know, that really changed my focus for this year too. I you know, I also have business goals and I have personal goals, and but I really did take a step back and think, you know, how do I really know I've met those goals? How am I even know I'm 50% there? So,
how have you?
I don't know. I'm still,
what do you?
How have I? Well, I mean, I'm training for my first half marathon. So, when I run it, I met my fitness goal for this year. And then, in terms of, you know, last year, like my focus was nutrition, and trying to integrate that into my practice. So, you know, I got a certificate in that, and now just I don't know how I'm measuring that this year. This year, I'm still kind of like I have a newborn, so I'm kind of behind in a lot of things. You know what that's like, right, Gene?
I can relate.
Can I ask, what's the ages? Because, Gene, I know you guys just had a baby. And then, Earth, tell me, what's the ages?
I have a 7-week-old, a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 9-year-old.
Whoa! Okay. All right. Okay. That's big
time. Like, when you have to pause and to really think about your kids' ages, that's a lot of kids.
Right, I know. I was like, did I miss anyone? Basically, we had to keep on going until we had a boy. So,
like, when you have to use your hand to count your kids and their ages,
right? Though what we had to do was we had to buy a bigger car. That's like our minivan was all of a sudden too small.
Do you have one of those buses now?
We were looking at it. That's basically like the Catholic mobile around here. A bunch of people drive vans, not minivans, maxi vans, I guess.
Wow.
No. It just got an expedition, but my wife really wanted.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Joe's got one on the way. So it's baby talk pretty much.
Hey, car seat's in, man. I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
Better go to the fire hall to make sure you installed that thing correctly. This fireman really know how to install a car seat.
Come on, man. Everybody's been saying that, and it really wasn't that
no,
hard.
No, it's not that it's hard. It's just that, like, you have to push it in and, like, jam your knee into it and pull the latches as tight as possible to get it in right, and you think you have it right, but it's just not quite. If it's not in right, your baby's just not as safe as it should be. And, man, the first time I saw a fireman do it, I was like, holy crap, I am not doing this right. So that's why everyone's saying it.
That's true.
All right.
It only takes once, and then you're like, whoa.
Let me go into the fire hall. But I was sitting in the car seat while I was pulling that thing. I'm just saying. Okay,
well, that might...
Yeah, I was standing on mine and shoving, like, all my weight and pulling, like, my hands are bleeding. But enough about babies. Let's get back to Greg.
So what are your goals for this year, Greg?
I had to decide late last year. You know, We have really good systems at our office. We have a great team. I have a lot of people that have been with me a long time. Like, I've had techs at my office, but all of my techs are DPT students. And, like, they're all starting to graduate now and wanting to be PTs. So I had to make a decision on, should we go from, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 clinics, or, you know, should I do something else and have a, you know, a different type of impact? So that's what I was really struggling with, you know, throughout last year, is just trying to decide, okay, what do I want to do and what are my new goals? And really my main goal is just to have as big of an impact on the profession as possible. And I feel as though, you know, now with, you know, doing the things that I'm doing, whether it's mentoring people in some of these private physical therapy groups on Facebook. I have online courses really catered to new grads. I'm just trying to make a big impact within the profession. I realize that I have look, I'm not the best PT out there by far. I know a lot of PTs are a heck of a lot better than me. But what my skill set is that because of some illnesses that I had, I know a lot about how the entire profession works. I know billing, I know administration, I know marketing, I know PT, I have a lot of employees. And because I have I'm well-rounded, you know, I believe, at least in PT, I'm not saying anything else, but I feel as though, you know, I have something that people need. And so I feel like I can make a bigger impact by doing the things that I'm doing right now and helping, you know, PTs get their career started on the right path. So that's really what I'm trying to do, just make a big impact in the profession.
Awesome, Greg. All right, one more question. How do you think the profession has changed or evolved since when you started out, you know, a decade or so ago to now?
It's just a different beast, and it's not trying to be rude about it or mean about it, but it's just a totally different beast now than what it was before. And I think people need to, you know, I think what attracts a lot of people is the same thing that attracted me into the profession. You see these Forbes, you know, reviews, you see these job outlooks, and you see PT constantly in the top 20, you know, a lot of times top 15, top 10. And you think, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, I can be around people. I can help people feel better. And I'm going to have job security. And that sounds great. And people forget the little fine print that says, yeah, it's going to be 6 freaking figures that you're going to invest into this bad boy. And reimbursement sucks. So it's like, that's a big piece of the puzzle now, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that's why it's important to really understand the entire landscape and also have a good awareness of business, you know, foundational business skills to maximize not only your earning potential and connection with business owners, but if you want to own a business and kind of jump off the ledge into all that, you really have to know what you're doing. And like we said before, you don't really get a lot of that in school, if any at all. But thankfully, there's people like yourself around, like Urs and like Joe, and pretty much all of us at UpDoc Media. That's kind of our mission is to is to educate on business, because that's kind of what we live. So I hope we're doing that. I would love to hear from our listeners if you think we're doing the business world of healthcare and physical therapy a justice. Let us know. Shoot us a message at Therapy Insiders, at Joe DPT, at Urson, at the OMPT, or at UpDoc Medium. We'd love to hear it. Greg, thanks a lot for joining us, man. It was an awesome podcast. Really enjoyed chatting with you. I know our listeners can benefit a ton from you. So I know you're doing a ton on Facebook, and we're going to put all of Greg's stuff on the podcast episode page. So check it out at UpDoc Media. Go under Podcast Therapy Insiders, and this podcast with Greg. So as always, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week on Therapy Insiders Podcast. Hope you enjoyed that episode with Greg Todd. And he brought up so many good points, and it's really fun to talk with somebody that is, one, experienced in the field and has seen what it means to work for somebody that has lived through growing a physical therapy business. And now, because he has that drive and need to continue to challenge and grow and experience and learn, he's using his skill set from physical therapy and expanding on it in other fields. I think if you're an entrepreneur, and I'm a firm believer you either are or are not, there is no in between. You can be business minded, you can be business intrigued, you can have entrepreneurial fire, sure. But to be an entrepreneur, you just have to go for it. You have to put away any fear, use it, understand it, know that you have it, and then just jump off the ledge. That's what being an entrepreneur is for. Not necessarily because you want to, but because you have to. There is no other way for you. You have to do this. You have this idea, that you have this passion. And not saying you have a passion, which is a huge pet peeve of mine, but you have the passion. It's action. And you go for it. And Greg is kind of described that. He went from running his practice to doing other things that he has to do. And I hope that motivates some of you to do that. And don't get me wrong, this is not easy. It is hard work with a high likelihood of failure. And that's part of the gig. So let us know what you thought of the episode. Tweet at us. Email if you need to, gene@updocmedia.com. Always love to hear your feedback and your engagement. Thanks for listening. Catch you again next week on Therapy Insiders Podcast.